Perhaps you could turn in your Bible to Psalm 23 again for the moment. Psalm 23. Now, and one little thing to correct a meeting we had the other day, I gave some numbers, but I just didn't get them that correct, so I'm going to give it to you again. This is from all the different categories of ages, but this is the age bracket from age 15 to age 24. I picked that. There's 43 million of them, people like in that age in the United States, 43 million. The risk of dying in that age for any reason is 0.07%. The COVID virus for that age is 0.0008%. Then I went all the way up to age 65 and older. There are 30 million of those people in the United States. The risk of dying for any reason, and that in the age bracket, is 6.8%. The COVID for that age is 0.48%, less than 0.5% for that age. That's sort of low. I thought you might want that. Now, we share together and we're looking at God's in his presence. You are here and God is. And you are you, and you have, because God created you and God died for you. So we have a very unique relationship if we avail ourselves to it. Now, in that relationship, we can know the Lord as our Savior. And that's a very personal thing. Personal. Now, God uses David, as we shared, to communicate how to live with God in the light of the Old Testament and human history, and to walk with God, and we shared together. David's example is you've got to have a heart for God. No heart, no go anywhere. Got to have a heart to walk with God. And in Psalm 23, I'll read verse 4 to get to verse 5. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, death's shadow, deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So David, remember in the end of verse 4, I'd fear no evil. Evil, we're in the middle of it. It's our old nature. So there's nowhere to be anywhere where humans are. And even if you were all alone on an island, evil is there because you're there. So there's no way around that one. Now, so is evil. And God is going to take care of the heart of the believer in the middle of the evil, and he is going to take care of them. All the people, they live in the middle, and all around him are the enemies. Darkness hates light, etc. And we're in the middle. We're in the middle of enemies. So God saves us and leaves us in the world, but not of it. And we're in the middle of the enemy. God saves us out of it. Now, we share together this table of showbread. Israel didn't want to be face to face with God. They rejected it, and they never had it. They won't have it again till he comes. That's all. They just never got it again. They had Moses. They had the prophets. That's true. John the Baptist, etc. And having said that, so God, in order to help them, put himself right in the middle of the 12 tribes in the tabernacle, in the tent. All the 12 tribes could ever see is the tent cover. They could never see the insides. And on the inside, among other things, the lampstand and the altar of incense and the table of showbread. And we're looking at the table of showbread because of Psalm 23, verse 5. And here's the table of showbread. The table of showbread, the table sitting there, over there to the right, I guess, and over to the right, and here's the table, and on it are 12 loaves of bread. They have to be, we did all that last time, so I don't take time to do that again. And here are the 12 loaves of bread, one for each tribe of Israel. They're the call, that's the table of show bread, S-H-E-W, which is the word faces to face. Remember that faces is always plural. We don't talk to toes, we don't talk to elbows, we talk to faces. That's how we look at persons. That's how we identify them, by their faces. Faces, plural, emphasizing all the parts. How do we communicate? By faces. That's the showbread, the bread of faces, plural. The bread of his presence. So God, Israel was to know you face to face. They chose not to. But did you take away the plan, the design, the privilege? No. No, you put it right in front of them, even though they couldn't see it, because the tent covering. And on the table of showbread are 12 loaves, one for each tribe of Israel. Of the 12 tribes of Israel, one of those tribes is Judah. David is of the tribe of Judah. So that as if the priest would see it every time they go in, but the people were to know what? Here's the table of showbread, and their name, each person's name in Israel, depending on the tribe, is one on that loaf. David's name is on that loaf. Abraham's name's on that loaf, etc. All of those names are there. So when? What are they? What, God, what are you saying? The table of showbread, the bread of faces. You're saying what? That God intended and intends to have a relationship to Israel face to face. That's what he intends to have. And if you will choose, you can enter into it or not. But you have the right as an Israelite to know that. Our Lord Jesus comes along and does a wonderful thing, and he represents the tabernacle, the tent, the temple is all about him. And he is the tent. Outside is just human flesh like you and I have, that's all. But you know what? That's all we could see. That's all you could see of him. But inside was the light. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's the only way to worship God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, the altar of incense, the only way to satisfy God. But they couldn't see that, and they crucified him. Now, and they didn't want it. They didn't want face to face. They rejected God's when they had opportunity, and they went and crucified him. Now, having said that little bit, here's David. And David's name is there on that table of showbread. Now, David, do you understand your relationship to God? Here's the tabernacle back here. We're going to travel down time. Here comes David along. Now, David, what? You're a Jew, a young Jew, young boy. Uh-huh. You look to God? Yeah, I do. I'm out there as a shepherd. I look to God. Okay. Now, having said that, David has a wonderful sense of believing what God says. And God's a wonderful, wonderful shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, he said. The Lord's a wonderful shepherd. Now, and he has that. So he's going to claim that. So I want to know how I get into this picture and how I claim it. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, I'm coming, you can go with me, over to Romans chapter 6 for a moment. It's a main truth, but let me say it and you can see it. When you come to know, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, What is God doing? What is God doing? Well, he's going to go, and when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, when you look to Calvary's cross, what are you to see? You are to see Christ crucified. He's crucified because the wages of sin is death, and he doesn't need to die. He didn't sin. We did. So when you hear and understand about Calvary's cross, what are we talking about? When I talk about it, I'm talking about myself. And each one of us will see ourselves on Calvary's cross. Each one of us are to be found where? In Christ on the cross. David on the bread, showbread before God in the tabernacle, before God. Faces, the bread of faces, face to face. So God, Romans 6 now, it'll make, you got to keep saying it, one day it'll, if it hasn't clicked for you yet, one day it will, and you'll catch it and see it. It isn't some, these are deep truths. They are wonderful truths, but they're simple truths. They're the truths in order to have a relationship. Romans 6 and in verse 3. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized, baptized means to identify, to be identified. That's why I'm baptized in the water and to be identified with something. And what are we identified with? What are we connected to? Know you not that as many of us as were baptized, connected where? Into Jesus Christ. We're baptized, connected into his death. Therefore, if we are buried with him and you see us on the cross, then we're going to see us when he's buried. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, identification, into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Reason, verse 5, for we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, being planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, if you find yourself and understand you died, he died on the cross. When he died, he paid the penalty for our sin. That's why anyone can get saved straightway. We don't ask about your lifestyle. We don't ask about anything. You just are able to have the good news straightway because the Christ has already been paid to know the Lord as your Savior. Now, so having said that, God, so we're buried, and Christ went all the way and rose again. Why did he rise again? Because we needed life. We're all dead in trespasses and sin. We have no relationship to God apart from him, and therefore we need life. We need a relationship to God. The Lord Jesus Christ provided the relationship to God. The relationship, face to face, person to person, direct. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Psalm 34. And in Psalm 34, looking at David, remember, David's all over the place. Wonderful. He's all over the place to help us. And God uses them, psalms and everything. To what? Help you understand. God's using him. God used Abraham to be as the example of faith, to believe in God. Faith, Abraham believed God, was counted to him for righteousness. And we believe, follow David, walk with the Lord, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we walk. We walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, here's Psalm 34. And picking up, if I can, here's David's psalm. I'm going to read verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to bless him at all times. Sliding down, if I can, down to verse 8. Well, no, I'm going to have to take another minute. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. That's what he did. Now, God, having, and verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. So David saying, God prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, the table is God's table, and he puts it in front of him. It's personal. Now, having said that, what do you do when you have a table that's personal? It has your name in the chair. It has your name plate right on the table. And the food on that table is yours. It's cooked by the chef of all chefs. God cooks it for you and me on a daily basis to see that we're well fed. Now, but that's, now that what I'm saying is wonderfully true. But how many people, that, well, everyone, I'm gonna, everyone's look, when you go home, look at your own table and see if you see anything. You know, what are you gonna see? Nothing. Say, I don't see a good table. Hang on. Now, God, what's the problem? Psalm 34 and in verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now, what happens with that table that has your name? All the food is specially prepared for you. You have all kinds of allergies or different things you have, and that food is made specifically to fit you. So you don't have to tell the cook, leave off the whatever, you don't have to say that. Nope, it's just made for you. No matter how you look at it, it's manna from heaven, like we did. Now, so here we are, taste, it's a command. Taste. It doesn't mean to chew, and it doesn't mean to consume it. It means to taste it. And if you have a tongue, you can taste, and a little bit sometime, if you can. And in the process, how would it be to eat your food with no taste? Now, you could, because you got to eat, but it wouldn't be so pleasant, would it? Now, so in the process, you got to taste it. Experience, taste. The word see, taste, it's a command. Be tasting. Keep tasting. Tasting to see how it tastes. Keep seeing. Seeing, the word see, has to do with experiencing. To see, to view, to perceive. Be tasting and experiencing the taste. Both are commands. Both are continuous. Continuous commands. Be tasting, be experiencing the food on the table, prepared especially for you. Now, having said that, we don't want to stop because it's wonderful. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. For young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall never want any good thing. Now, God, are you ever going to put stuff on there? Someone's going to put spinach. I don't like spinach. Someone's going to put tomatoes. I don't like tomatoes. I don't know. Whatever God puts on that plate is edible for you, no matter how you do it. No temptation, test, trial, trouble has come our way, except God allows it. And if God allows it to come your way, if it's on your table, you are able to deal with it, taste it, let it experience it. God put it there for you in the presence of your enemies to make the enemies of God, the world system that has nothing, think we did that one, Matthew 6. We have a Heavenly Father, not like the world. The world's busy trying to find food and clothing and survival and security. And believers don't do that. No, believers have a Heavenly Father right now. And we're going down the corridor of time. And we have a wonderful table in front of us. God is providing it in his wonderful way. It's perfect. So tomorrow is perfectly set in the will of God for you. And you haven't even got there yet. You haven't got there yet. And if you proceed, which you can never get going here, you adapt and proceed, you'll find it all is going to go. That's the way it is. Now, so having said that, so good, always good. There's no bad food. There's nothing to ever worry about. You may not like spinach, but this spinach is just for you. It's just for you. And once you know it's taking your whole metabolism and everything else you got, and it's perfect, perfect, like the manna from heaven, angels' food. Now, and thus we go to verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So that's what we're learning. We're learning to have a healthy, reverential, awesome respect for being saved, for being knowing God as your Savior, as you go down the corridor of time. Now, keep in mind while you're here, where we did, I'm just going back for a second, over to Psalm 25, not far away. We did this, I hate taking time for it, but you want to remember it. If you don't remember the pieces, it gets sort of hard. So here we are looking, Psalm 25, and you recall Psalm of David again. And I'm picking up if I can. I'm going to go directly to verse 12. Verse 12. What man is he, remember we just read, to fear the Lord, God's good thing. What are you going to do? You have a respect for God's, what God puts on that table. What man is he that feareth the Lord, verse 12, him shall God teach in the way that he shall choose. David's steps, remember, are of God. David's way, he's in God's way. And David said, my times, we did all these things. My times are in thy hands. My steps, the way I'm going, and all the things that are happening all over the universe, down I go. Now, having said that a little bit, so God chooses, that's right. Who else knows the proper diet to give you? Who else possibly knows? Say, my dietitian. No. God knows the exact diet you need. And no one can pick it and time it to time the right moment to put that food in front of you. Maybe it should be there on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. It'll be there on Tuesday. Always the timing is right. Now, but if you don't taste, and the table's there, and you don't experience, all of that is in front of you now. But I don't believe that. What are you going to do with it? Nothing. I'm not going to do anything. I hear you. I'm listening. Good. Are you going to eat at the table? I don't see the table. I don't think that's for me. I got my problems in my life, and I'm trying to solve them and outwork them. And the virus is troubling enough and making more trouble. Now, so having said that, keeping that in mind, you got to believe. You got to taste. And no matter how much I mumble it out, if you don't taste and you don't believe, you won't know one thing about what I'm saying until you believe. You've got to believe. And that's when the table's there. And that's when you're going. But if you don't believe, and you can tell me that I'm a believer and I love the Lord and I know that truth, then practice it. Practice the truth and believe it. And if you're believing it, don't tell, you aren't going to take that, you're going to change, because right now you're believing, and you aren't looking at me or anyone else, you're looking at God, and all of a sudden, no one else and nothing else in your life or anybody else's life is important. The one thing that overrides it all is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, that right now you're trusting him, and when you do that, Your whole language will be different. Your conversation's different. Your whole attitude's different because you're trusting him for real. Until then, you can talk about it and say it, but ain't gonna, I don't believe it. I need to see it, and so do you. Now, in the light of that, over to Psalm 81. Again, you already know, I don't even have to tell you, I just wanted you to see it again, though, and think about it. Here's Psalm 81, and remember, we did that. I'm going to go directly again to verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, 81:10. We did all the context again. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. God, what do you expect of Israel? To open, what did you want them to do? Face to face at Mount Sinai? Absolutely. You're going to give them manna and water? Absolutely. So therefore, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide. And that's causative. In other words, have you ever, you've been to the dentist sometime? He's got these big needles and everything. He's coming in. Big things. Scissors and everything. And he's coming in. And he says, open up. And there you go. And if he doesn't open it, he puts this big vise in you and opens your mouth way up here. Wow. It's causative. Open your mouth wide. Open, 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 open. I'm going to go. It's intensive. I'm going to fill it intensively. I'm diligently, carefully, and I'm involved. I'm coming. I'm going to fill your mouth with that which is of heaven. I'm going to fill your mouth with all the wonderful things. You're going to, I cook the food. You have to believe. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to make it work. How? Because we're part of the body, like your physical, all the different parts. That's what we're doing here. What are we doing? We're part of the body. And we're, God, you're working on us, each one differently. That's right. But ultimately, what's happening? It's all of us. Working on each part of the body, but each part of the body goes together because it's his body. So he's doing over here and doing over here and doing back there, bringing it all together to the degree and measure that we're going to believe. If we don't believe, then we sit there and, you know, sleep, whatever you want. That's what we do. So we're exposing ourselves. And that's wonderful. So open your mouth wide and I will go and fill it in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, over to Isaiah 55. Now, God, you give that wonderful invitation to the world, if they would believe it, not to Israel only, but to the world. And in Isaiah chapter 55, if I can, picking up, please, in thought, I'm going to read verse 1. Ho, remember, all of that is following Isaiah 53, which is about the crucifixion of Christ. Christ died on the cross for you and me, and Isaiah 53 said, he died for the sins of the world. So then you move 54, which transmutes, and you go to 55. And then when you come out of that, we got 55, which is, ho, everyone that thirsty, so you're going to drink because you're thirsty. You're going to eat because you're hungry. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. I want you to eat. I don't want you to visit. I want you to eat. You need to eat. Come ye, buy, eat, come. Come buy wine. Joy, that wine is joy, the Spirit of God. Don't be not drunk with wine in this excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. It's about joy, wine is. And milk, nourishment, without money and without price. Wow. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which is not satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And we're going to do that, but not yet. Fatness, that's what I want. Wonderful fatness. Open your mouth wide. I'm going to fill it wonderfully, but you've got to believe. We say, what are we going to believe? That's why we're understanding. That's why we're reading. To understand, what are we supposed to be believing? That's why we're reading it. So we know what to be believing and what to do. Otherwise, we're just like everybody else in the world. Anyway. So, Isaiah 55, sliding down to verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. And you're going to do that. And remember, this forsake his way, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. So we got our old nature, and it's always there. It doesn't go away till God takes us home. So we always have that old nature, and we need to know that. So then it makes sense when you say that to go to verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We're two different worlds. But my thoughts, this is what I think about this, and this is what I think about that, and this is how I feel about this. And we go back and forth, and we govern our life. But I'm a believer. Are your thoughts his thoughts? His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. They don't come together. That's your old nature. And there's God's thoughts. So I have to understand that. I got to practice that. Otherwise, what thoughts am I going to go by? I'm going to go by my thoughts. Right? Who's the rightest thinker in the world? You are. See? It's our thoughts. Now, so God, here we are looking, and your thoughts. So God, what are you going to do? Well, he said, and you got to do this in such a positive, wonderful way. Verse 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now think of all the different kinds of food you could think of to cook and eat. And if you go to a real diner or some restaurant where they get 25 pages to turn from and pictures to boot, and you turn through them, right? Isn't a lot? I mean, some places have three things. You have to pick one. But when you got a lot of things, how many would you understand on just the menu? God's menu for you is higher than the heavens. Higher than all humans, 7.8 plus billion of us together. God said, don't try to compete with me. Believe me, and I'll serve you according to the wonderful way that I have to provide you with the very thing that will bring you changed and changing and honoring me. And the more I can do in your little life taking care of you as you go down the corridor of time, the more I can take care of you, the more you will enjoy the trip. The world isn't going to get any better. The pandemic isn't going to get whatever. We got an awesome journey ahead if the Lord tarries. So, what are we doing? We're looking to make sure that the one we're walking with and the one taking us down the corridor day by day in all this, I want to walk safely. That doesn't mean I don't get things or I don't fall down and break my neck. It just means I'm safe as can be. If I break my neck in the will of God, God, thank you. You betcha. And if a steamroller's coming down the street one of those big power line going up and I'm looking at it and that great big pole falls on top of me and 7 zillion volts go through me and then I come out and speak the next day and say, boy, is he powerful, you see. No. God, whatever, if it's in your will, you bet your boots it's the best thing in the world for you. Well, how could this be? I've had this for a whole week. What happens if God says it needs to be there for 2 weeks? Then you sit and bear it for 2 weeks, always thanking God so you can get through it. Otherwise, you're not going to get through it good. You're going to mumble and cream. Whether it's 8 days, 9 days, 10 days, when's it going to go away? I'm doing everything. Relax. I'm trying to tell you. Face. Don't get all caught up in this business where you... this out here is going up here. And what you're doing is, if you aren't careful, your whole mental world is out here, not in here, trusting God. And when I'm trusting God in here, whether I have this on or not, or need it or not, is not the issue. I'm going to be relaxed and faceless, whether this is on or off. And I need to be able to have that. Otherwise, I'm in bondage to this thing, whether you like it or not. It's true. Now, so in the light of all that. Now, where are we? In Isaiah 55, picking up, please. Over, if I can, sliding down. In the light of the rain, the weather, we had all that heavy rain, some of us did. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven coming, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth bud, food, plants, everything, that you may have seed, give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so we're able to have the natural, normal food to eat. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I put the plate out in front of you. God said, I'm doing this out everywhere. I'm supervising, managing the universe and the angels and the good guys and the bad guys. I'm on top of it, said God. So I want you to go. My times are in your hands, God. So as I'm going down the corridor, God, you're going to honor your word, what your will is. Uh-huh. So I want to make sure that my heart is lined up with that table, because that's what God's putting on that table to sustain me as I go down. I need to eat on a regular basis. I need to be sustained properly. Now, hanging on to that, over if you would please, to Romans. Romans chapter 14. Keeping in mind, when we talk about food in that, as you know. If I can, Romans in chapter 14, picking up, please. Oh, you'll catch it in the middle of the context, but going directly for time's sake. Verse 17. Knowing, here's food and drink. God said, the world's busy doing everything, but, and here's the believer. The believer, God, you're going to take care of. The Father knoweth what we need, absolutely. But don't louse up your thinking with, boy, where's my bread? Where's my peanut butter? Verse 17. For, the kingdom of God is not, N-O-T, meat, food, and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It has nothing to do with food. I'll provide you food. But it has nothing to do with food. So don't tell God, God, you got to do this. I got to have my protein. Now, sure you do. And you got to have whatever. But you're looking to God to take care of that as you go, and you do what you do, and you know all these things. At 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever we eat and whatever we drink, do all to the glory of God. So you have to eat what's in your refrigerator. You can't eat what's not there. You have to eat what's there. That's what you do. And that's fine, because it isn't an issue. I've had this leftovers for 5 days in a row. Well, eat the sixth day if you don't have anything. Go to the sixth day if it's still good, you know, and eat it with thanksgiving. It isn't the food that's the issue. It's God. And the more I looked for God's table and God's working, and God would have to protect me if I'm eating food on the sixth day and it should have been eaten, thrown out on the fourth day, but I'll have to trust God. Haven't you done that sometime? I asked Jeanette sometime, is this bologna good and bad? And she said, is it greasy? And I said, greasy. So is the bologna greasy? So I look at the police. I said, I don't see any grease. And I probably ate it. What can I tell you? I ate it. I'm not throwing out bologna. Good bologna, I mean. They're going to eat it. That's what you do. Wow. So God, here we are going. And it's not food or drink. Over to John chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, picking up, please, in God's wonderful thing, God goes by his word, and God's going to feed you properly by his word. You may not know it, but you're going to trust him and exercise the knowledge that you have, whatever degree it has, whatever much you understand. John chapter 4, our Lord giving it easy and to see. Picking up in chapter 4, may I go, please, to verse 31. 4 and 31, the Gospel of John. In the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Remember, he's had a very demanding, tiring time, etc., etc., etc. And they're concerned. It's lunchtime. And they need to go to McDonald's or something. Someone get something. And so, therefore, they're concerned. And verse 32. They're concerned to make sure he eats. Verse 32. They said unto them, I have meat, food to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples, you and I would get along with them pretty good. They're sort of dumb about everything. Not you guys, of course, but me. I'm just telling you. So they said, well, what did they say? Therefore, verse 33, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? In other words, well, we weren't looking. Someone must have brought him a hamburger. And they look around, has anyone brought him a hamburger? And the Lord Jesus said, you guys are awful slow. So he's going to help them. Verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat of food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What is your food? It isn't meat or water or a hamburger. It's the will of God. What's on that table? The will of God. At midnight tonight, the will of God's on that table. The will of God's there. And all of that, I teach in the way that I shall choose. Each one personally. God, and you say, you can't hold it. God, you go. And raindrops are full of everything, and snowflakes come, and thousands, zillions, and zillions, and zillions, and zillions, and zillions of them. But God, they're all different. Hard to find another one that looks like another. Wow. The hairs of our head are numbered. A little bird can't fall to the ground in the middle of the mountains without you knowing it. So God said, listen, I told you, it's face to face. It's personal. It's direct. I don't want anything between us. I don't want anything between us. Don't hide. Don't hide. Think of Matthew. Don't hide your light under a bushel so it covers up and no one sees. No one's going to see my joy. No one's going to see how I walk. They are going to see how I walk. That doesn't mean whether you have this on or not. It's the point is that I'm going to have such a freedom in my heart, an understanding in my heart to proceed forward with comfort and encouragement. And it isn't because I'm going to fix anything or change anything. It means I'm moving in God's wonderful presence, and God has to keep me, and that's his delight to do so in God's wonderful will. Over to Colossians. Again, Colossians, we're sort of off a bit, but and I hear and watch what's going on, and I'm telling you, lots of dear churches, even good or bad, whatever, they're going to be in trouble. I don't want to be part of it. I'm telling you, what they're doing, it's never going to recover. They're going to set a pattern, a whole movement, and they aren't going to be able to get out of it, and the government doesn't want them out of it. The system doesn't want them out of it. So unless you're going to have enough oomph inside of you, then you're going to get swallowed up in this. And I'm telling you, I keep hearing it and seeing it. I don't like it. We're just struggling along trying to do this. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, here's his prayer, you know it, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled. What do you want, Paul? Here we're believers. Tell us what you want. To be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want you to know his will. The table is set before you. I want you to be able to enjoy that wonderful, wonderful table in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. I want you to be able to enjoy it. Now, having said that, over if you would in closing. Over to First Corinthians. And if you would. I won't even do that. Go to 2 Corinthians. Just to get it. So when you go out the door, you got at least something. God, what are you going to say to the believers in Corinth? Among other things, let me go directly to it. You'll catch it. It's a lovely, lovely truth. Verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Do you see the word the heart? What's it all about? David's heart. Your heart. Not your brains and not your intellect and not anything. It's your heart. And when you're all done, what are you going to do? It's just your heart. So we've got to strip away all everything about your life that makes you valuable and profitable and happy. And take it all away and just go to your heart. It's your heart. Aha. Uh-huh. Out of the heart comes all the issues of life. Now I don't lose what it's saying. Do you see the word enter? Enter, the verb to enter, enter, enter. That's a word to ascend up, to go up. And the easiest, a nice way to remember, and you'll catch it. If you pull, remember, here we are going down the corridor of time in our ship. Here's our boat, comes up, pulls up to the dock, pulls up to the dock. We're going to go on a ship out into the stormy sea where the winds and the crocodiles and everyone are out there, and we're going to go out down the corridor and our ship's going to take off. But before our ship takes off, entered, God, what are you going to do? The eye hasn't seen it. Ear hasn't heard it. It hasn't even been understood. Enter the word. Here comes the ship next to the dock. And the trail and the things come up against it, and they're going to lift up the load. They're going to carry the load. You're going to carry on your ship all the supplies you need. I think of the ship at sea. Enough eggs, enough whatever we need for the journey, like in a submarine or something else. And here we're going to go, going to pick it up. God, you're going to load the heart as it goes on its journey with a full supply, as it sets out on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. It sets out down the corridor of time, and as it sets out to go down, God, you're going to make sure we eat on the table. Uh-huh. And you have all the supply. Have you got enough supply in the light of what's going to happen 8 days from now? I do. I'll make sure you have enough every day, every day, every day. That's what it did. I never worried about that when I was in the service. On the ship, we're in the middle of North Atlantic or something out there. I never asked them whether they had enough anything. They just put it out in a thing, and you put your tray out, and they throw it down, and you go and eat. That's what you do. What can I tell you? Wow. Oh, God, we're going to go down the corridor. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I'm going to make sure everything's on board of you in your life. I'll give it to you in closing. So don't have to open the Bible. Philippians 2:13. Work out what? Your own salvation. It's your own chip. It's your life. It's your table. Don't ask for somebody else's table. Whatever they're going to eat, God, that's up to them. It's your table. You eat that. And you're going down the corridor of time, and God, whatever you eat, etc. And as you go down, God's going to go and bless the table and put on that table all that you need as you go down. And you're already ready for 8 days from now. God already has it. You don't have to think about it. Think of Matthew chapter 6 and that. Sufficient of the day is the day. There's enough trouble today. Don't try to get tomorrow's trouble. When you eat what I have for you today, till you get to tomorrow, and we'll start all over again. But I'll make sure you go all the way, even so come.